Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis of Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence data, first half 2025, compatible device and plan required. For T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
FanDuel's got an offer you don't want to miss this NFL season. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season is here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode is brought to you by Marshalls, where you never have to compromise between quality and price. The buyers at Marshalls hustle hard, working to bring you great deals on brand name and designer pieces. Because Marshalls believes everyone deserves access to the good stuff. Visit a Marshalls store near you or shop online at marshalls.com.
Base, awesome fan base. Their team had an awesome year. I would have been so excited to go to the great city of Seattle and been boots on the ground there, all the great people. Our guy, Reese Green, out there setting the scene. Obviously, Brady Farkas, we appreciate him coming on the podcast. There's so many people. Jerry DePoto, he did a great job of building that team. Just a great team. You feel a little bit for them. But you know what? The Blue Jays, they deserve to get what they got, which is a trip to the World Series. And we obviously have a lot of members of the Baseball Isn't Boring family on the Blue Jays as well, and the Dodgers. Yes, the Blue Jays and the Dodgers. Just to give you some context, I wanted to look at the odds as we head into the World Series, which will start on Friday in Toronto. Well, again, we'll be boots on the ground there, giving you all the what, starting with World Series Media Day the day before. It's plenty of stuff to do. I love the World Series Media Day. I love it. They sit there, they answer questions, they're in good moods, all of it. All right, well, the Blue Jays, they are underdogs. No surprise. They're plus 184 according to FanDuel. Dodgers minus 220. Now get this. I get this from Dominic Padula on X. The Blue Jays to win the World Series was 65-1 on MLB opening day. Longest odds of any AL team other than the Angels, Athletics, and White Sox. So there you go. We did the interview with Ross Atkins at the last week of April, last day of April. And from there on, it took off. The BIB bump once again. Got the Toronto Blue Jays to the World Series. Let it be said, let it be done. Also, of course, you know our affiliations with the Dodgers. A lot of tattoos to be had if the Dodgers win. All right, well, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to have a lot to talk about. The guy I have on today's podcast knows what it's like, was on the last team to know what it was like to actually beat the Dodgers in the World Series. I thought it was apropos to have on Brock Holt. Brock Holt not only was on that 2018 Red Sox team that beat the Dodgers in the World Series. Yes, the last team to beat the Dodgers in the World Series. That seems kind of crazy, but that was a fact. But also, Brock Holt, I immediately thought of him when Shohei Ohtani had the greatest postseason game of all time, because I'm like, well, you know, I had another guy who had a really, really good postseason game. Does that compare? Could that compete with what Ohtani did? And the answer was, no, it couldn't. But Brock Holt's still the only guy ever to have a cycle hit the cycle in the postseason, so we'll give him number two. So that's another reason to have Brock on, along with some great stories, along with some great perspective, along with just great conversation for a long, long time. It was a long podcast, but I think you're going to enjoy it, because you know what? We are running around like crazy. Sometimes these podcasts are long, sometimes they're not, but sometimes I just like to sit down and talk to a guy who's great to talk to. And in this case, Brock Holt has a lot to talk about, like you said, including, by the way, what it's like to actually beat the Dodgers in the World Series. Not a lot of guys know that feeling. Well, he knew that feeling. All right, well, at BB isn't boring, at BB isn't boring. Check out the newsletter. Newsletter Wigs doing an awesome job with that. An awesome job. I was over at Boston College talking to a class, and I was telling everybody, listen, Newsletter Wigs knows what's what when it comes to drawing people into the content with the great tech talk video. And then boom, he comes in with the great headlines. Then boom, comes in with the great audio files. Boom. Go check out the newsletter. Newsletter Wigs doing a great job. And of course, Producer Evan just dominating the socials. At BB isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. Hey, listen, if you're a fan of any of these teams, if you're a fan of the Dodgers, or you're a fan of the Blue Jays, I plead with you, contact us. Yeah, because we not only aren't talking to players, we want to talk to some fans. We want to get the what's what. We want to get the vibes. That's why I'm going up to Toronto to find these people, to talk to the people, to get the excitement. Not only in terms of inside the ballpark, but outside the ballpark as well. All right, listen, this is what it's all about. This is what months upon months upon months led up to. Here we go. Toronto Blue Jays, Los Angeles Dodgers, and yes, Brock Holt. Here you go. Here's Brock. There's no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to more than Brock Holt. Fact. Thank you. Thank you for gracing me with your presence. It's been a little bit.
It has been a little bit. I saw your name pop up on my phone yesterday, mm-hmm. and got a little excited, a little tingly inside, Rob.
A little tingly inside,
yeah.
You know, well, I will say this. You are in the baseball isn't boring. So we're coming up on our third anniversary of the podcast, and you are in the open of the podcast.
Am I?
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Yeah.
I don't do a whole lot of podcasting. No, I don't listen to a whole lot of podcasts. I'm more of a music guy. Like when I'm in my truck, you know, I just turn on some country music.
And I got you, man. Like this is one of the highlights of my baseball isn't boring existence. Top five moment was when I was able to bring you and Noah Kahn together a little bit.
Oh, anyway. Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah. I still need to get connected with him because I want him to be a part of our golf tournament.
Ooh. Oh yeah. Let it be said, let it be done. And in case people don't know, you made a nice video saying I can be a backup singer for you, Noah. I'm used to being a backup. I can do it all. I don't want to just play the stick season. And you rattled off a bunch of. And so I showed it to Noah Kahn. Noah Kahn said, "Let me make a video back to him." He said, "Hey Brock, the deep cuts. I love these deep cuts." It's just the beginning of a great relationship.
Great relationship. Yeah. I would love to have him involved. I know he's actually been to the clinic and I think signed a guitar for them. And it's hanging up in the clinic there in the Jimmy Fund, and him being a New England guy, would be great to have him as part of the tournament, just to come out and play golf and maybe play a tune or two for us. But it's funny, like that video, I'm sure he had to like stop mid recording to be like, "Hey Rob, who am I talking to again?"
Well, first of all, the fact that that scenario isn't likely at all, because he had no idea who I was, so he wouldn't say, "Hey Rob."
Excuse me, sir.
But that's what I loved about it. I'm always be a fan of Noah Condon, because I basically said, "Here, here's a baseballs and boring t-shirt. Hey, here's Brock Holt." All this stuff, and he was the nicest guy. And it also, it screamed to me, Brock, of something that I've been saying to a million people, and Brett Phillips was one of the ones who first said it, reminded us that when you engage with somebody, you have a fan for life. You sign one kid's autograph, you have a fan for life. They might not know even who you are, but now they know who you are.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm just screaming from the mountaintop.
I love that.
And I know that you did that. I mean, that you were great at that. Like, you were great at engaging with people. And I think this is one of the reasons, like, why you're so popular. So
that I think so. I mean, I think for me, it's just, you know, I think as people were called to try and impact as many people as we can. And I say it all the time. I said, getting to play for the Red Sox was I was extremely honored to be able to do that. I worked really hard to in order to do that. But whenever you're a professional athlete, especially in Boston, people think you're a lot cooler than you actually are, right? And they kind of put you up on this pedestal. And for me, I was fortunate to be able to do it. But I think with that, you know, with that position comes responsibility, and you kind of, you know, use your platform to, like I said, impact as many people as you can. And, you know, I don't remember really any of the hits or plays that I made or didn't make. Right. When I look back on my career, I remember the people who impacted me the most, my coaches, my teammates, people in the city, you know, stuff like that. So the relationships and getting to know people and interacting with people is, you know, is what's important when it's all said and done.
Who was the first autograph you got? You ever remember that? One of them?
Oh man, I used to go to the Rangers game all the time. We used to wait outside of their parking lot when they would pull out, and we would try and get autographs. I don't remember the first ever, but we would wait after the game sometimes, but we would never get there super early because it was so dang hot in Texas.
In the
summer, so we try and get there right at game time, and then But I liked all, like, I was a Ranger fan, whoever was playing well, whoever's playing shortstop, whoever. I got a foul ball, Royce Clayton. You remember that name, Royce Clayton?
Oh, of course, yeah.
He hit me a foul ball, or he didn't hit me the foul ball. He hit a foul ball, and I caught it, and I remember that, yesterday. And I loved Royce Clayton at the time because he played shortstop for the Texas Rangers.
I've only caught one foul ball in my life, and that was actually – you probably were playing in the game. I was doing the broadcast with Dave O'Brien in Kansas City, this little booth in Kansas City. Salvador Perez hits a like one that skips off the top of the screen. I stick my hand up and grab it, and I remember Torre Lovello was like – after, like, we looking, he literally getting on this top step. Did you catch that? They went back in the replay room to utilize the replay to see if I actually caught it or not. Anyway, no one cares about
that.
I got it. And then I gave it to some screaming kid on the airplane to hopefully like keep him quiet. Didn't work.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. But by the way, the Rangers, you and I, something in common, because to me, that was some of my first autographs because my grandparents lived in Pompano Beach, where the Rangers trained way back. I mean, they trained at it wasn't even a high school stadium, but Bert Campaneris, like, oh my goodness. Yeah.
That was before me. My growing up, my memory of Rangers, like Juan Gonzalez, Rafael Palmeiro, Will Clark came in.
It's a pretty good one. It's a pretty good run.
Kevin Elster, you know, Pudge behind the plate. Rusty Greer was a big, I was a big fan of Rusty Greer. Did
you ever say to John Lester, you almost became a Ranger? You know about that? The
No,
A-Rod trade. The A-Rod trade.
Oh, yes, I do. Yeah. Him and Manny, right?
Him and Manny. Anyway, all right. Well, I do want to get to, you said right before we came on that you were fending off venomous spiders recently. I put that in my notes because I feel that's pretty important
it's
that
good, it's a good,
you're protecting
it's a
your
good
family. But so a couple reasons, a couple things you're always on my mind, Brock, but these came particularly to my mind was when Shohei Ohtani had his game the other day and they said it was the best postseason game of all time. I immediately came to my mind, went to what I thought was the best postseason game of all time, and it was you hitting for the cycle. So now I will say this. I will preface these remarks by saying Shohei's was better.
I mean, you can't even put them.
I tried.
It's not even close, right? Like, I mean, yeah, like striking out 10 people and hitting three home runs and hitting one out of the stadium, and like, yeah, you can't even compare the two. I would much rather have done what Shohei did than what I did.
Well, if you package all your historic achievements together, with the only person who's ever hit for the cycle in the postseason and throwing the slowest strike of all time, I feel like you were like the Shohei Ohtani in a different world, right?
Yeah, in the get this guy off our TV world, like in that world. Yeah, that's the world I'm the Shohei Ohtani in. Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous what he's able to do on the baseball field. Like, I mean, I thought it was ridiculous that he started the game, struck out a guy, and then hit a leadoff home run. And I was like, dude, this is amazing. And then he goes on to strike out 10 and hit two more home runs, you know? So, like, talking with Mookie, you know, still being close with Mook, he's like, dude, this guy's – he's ridiculous. Like, it's – no one is even close to – what he is.
That's amazing that Mookie's in awe of him.
That's
kind of kooky.
And I'm like I'm like that way with Mookie, right? So like me thinking Mookie is like top tier, way better than I could ever be. And then Mookie's telling me this guy like is way better than I could ever be. It's like, dude, he's not even on the same planet as I. Like I played in the same league as him, but like There should be a separate league, and he should be in it. So,
well, okay.
I'm 3-for-6 career off of Shohei, .500 batting average.
You stole my thunder. This is the builder. This is by the time this podcast is over, Brock, you're gonna feel so good about yourself.
Well, the only reason I know that is because I had some buddies texting me about Shohei the other day, and I looked up. Like, I wonder. Like, I know I got a couple hits off of him. I wonder. So I looked it up. You know, and I was 3-for-6. I think I had an OPS over 1,000. So, you know, he's not that good of a pitcher.
So in this imaginary league where he's playing in, you are also a high draft pick for that league. So congratulations.
Thank you.
But what is there? Speaking of Mookie, was there something that Mookie did? So we focus. Oh, Todd, listen, good for Shohei. Good for him. Like, good for him. Okay.
Yes.
By the way, in the Joe Kelly house, which we have both slept and both stayed.
Mm-hmm.
There is a bottle, a very expensive, I think Japanese whiskey, like that Shohei Ohtani brought over along with a Porsche, of course.
Yeah, well, I was going to say there's also a car in the garage as well. Yeah.
So anyway, it's the 3 degrees of Shohei Ohtani in both of us. But with Mookie, what was it? Does something come to mind where you're like saying, oh my goodness, that guy's different? Like you said, like he's your Ohtani. You're Ohtani. The one that jumps to mind for me was a throw he made in Tampa. And I think you were on the team. Yeah. You remember this?
Yeah.
From like literally the corner to third base. I mean, that was the one that jumped to mind. Was there anything for you?
I think just his like, just his consistency and just him coming into the cage and saying, you know, saying how bad he was and how much he sucked because he went like 0-for-3 the night before. And like just moping around, and then we go into the game that night, and he gets four hits. You know, it's like it was frustrating. Granted, Mookie did work. He works hard. But like I could work twice as hard as Mookie Betts and never be the athlete that he is, or be able to do the things that he can do on a baseball field. That throw was unreal. I think some of the plays that he made, his base running, the 12 pitch grand slam off
Grand
a hat
slam.
was that's pro that was but like other than like winning the World Series and like that, like I feel like that at bat for me was my like the highlight of my Red Sox career. But just stuff like that, and I mean honestly, now seeing him probably going to win the Gold Glove at shortstop in
That's
the National
crazy.
League is like it is so it's mind blowing to me, like how he came up as a second baseman. Obviously, we had Pedroia, like, hey, go play right. Okay, I'll go be the best right fielder in baseball. And then 3 years ago, hey, you want to play short? Yeah, sure. And now he's probably gonna win the Gold Glove, you know, as not a young spry Mookie Betts anymore, you know, like.
Well, no. Well, I will say this, Brock. Again, this is enough. Mookie and Ohtani get enough praise. You're fending off venomous spiders while coaching little kids and all this stuff. This is your moment. And
That's
I will
true.
also say this is that as much as we applaud Mookie for going to shortstop, I also did. This isn't just me. I referenced that I did broadcast. This is the second time, but I did the broadcast in Detroit when you played outfield for the first time. And that was the first time you had ever played outfield, right? Correct?
First time ever. I think I played in a slow pitch softball game once,
And
but
you were awesome that day. You were really, really good.
well, the story about that is we were in Detroit, and now good buddy of mine, Ian Kinsler, the first play I made was against him. He kind of hit a ball, you know, I don't know how he hit it so far, but off a lackey, he kind of was ass out and he poked it up over my head. And I ran and caught it against the wall and like spun off the wall. And that was the first play I ever made in the outfield. And I was like, well, if I can catch this one, I should be able to catch any of the other ones. So it gave me confidence. But also, Ian Kinsler ended his career with 1,999 hits. So that could have been 2,000, you know? I apologize to Ian all the time. I was like, and yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like, you say, like, you know, Brock, you went and played outfield. Like, Rob, I had to do it. I had to try other positions or they weren't going to let me on the team, you know? And I had to be decent at them. Like, Mookie, if he didn't want to play shortstop, he could have said, "Nah, I'm good. I'll stay in right field and continue winning gold gloves and doing all that stuff." But he does it because he wants to win, and he's like, "This is going to make the team better, and we can play whoever out there if I play here, and I feel like I can do it." And he does it. But I had to just say yes to everything because I wanted to stay in the big leagues and not have to go back to Pawtucket.
Well, listen, you were good. That's all I know. All right. Again, in the spirit of why we have to find that Shohei's game is the best, and can I tell you a quick, like, remember the game he had last year where he was going for 50-50 and he went 6 for 6? That might be that actually might be the best game ever played. Like 6 for 6. I think he had two or three home runs, had three stolen bases. Like 16 total bases, whatever it was. And I actually was in Miami the day before, and I decided to drive to Tampa to go watch the worst game I've ever watched at Tropicana Field. Oh, you all
At the
right?
worst, yeah. Sorry,
It's all right.
Moose, my dog is underneath me, and
Okay.
he's like chewing on something, and I got to get it.
Yeah, don't have him digest something that's not
Yeah, I
good.
got it. Well, he eats socks, full socks. I bet he's eaten probably 100 of our socks, and he poops them out. So when I'm,
Is that true?
yeah, 100, yeah. Well, I'll go around and I'll pick his poop up, and it'll be, oh, there's that sock. I'm gonna throw that one away. Like we've got him just sitting. all the singles in the laundry room, and I'm like, "Hey, that pink one, that pink one, I found it."
Do you keep now the obvious question, which I have?
No, we no. There you go, chunk them. Yeah. They're yeah.
But the only one I can relate. I had a little dog, and he, you know those sticky hands you throw against right?
Yeah.
My dog ate one of those, and it came out, and we were it was.
Oh, stuck in there. Yeah.
Anyway, that's not the point.
Oh yeah, Shohei, you chop a can.
The point is, I left the game. I left. I chose not to go to that game to drive across the state to go. It was the worst professional, but the worst instincts of any professional media person in the history of professional media people. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is that he had that game. He had the postseason game, and you. I will still implant you as number two, the only person to ever have a postseason cycle, which almost was threatened by who was it? Schwarber,
Vladdy.
Oh, yeah. Vladdy. I'm sorry, Vladdy.
Vladdy. Yeah, Vlad Jr.
You
yeah,
were you watching that? Were you like on?
I was watching it. I mean, obviously, like, when people get close, like my phone starts going off and. Lakin's phone, she'll get texts from, you know, from her friends. And so we had the game on, and Vladdy, I saw him hit it in the gap. And at first I thought it was just like a nice little single Julio was going to cut off, but then it kept rolling. And I was like, uh-oh. I was like, he might have this. And so I was kind of getting a little nervous, edge of my seat. But then I saw that he stopped, and I think he would have been, they showed like an overhead. You know, the overhead. I think he would have been out by a good amount
Yeah.
had he gone. But also, I got Fabless. Carlos Fabless is coaching third. He was there for me, so he might have just been holding him up just
Did
to.
you text him saying thank
Yeah,
you?
no, I need to. I need to. I he's got bigger fish to fry right now in the ALCS. But
Yeah.
he could have done that for me. He's like, you know what? I'm gonna let Brock have this one. I'm gonna hold Vladdy at two here.
All right. Well, I want to go back to that day, October 8th, 2018, because this we are defining it as the second best ever game played in the postseason. You were 4 for 6, 10 total bases, and your team won 16-1. Do you? If I'll give you 5 baseballs and boring T-shirts, if you can list all the Yankees pitchers that pitched that day.
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay.
I know Severino.
Yeah.
How many were there?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And obviously, you know the last one.
Severino, yeah, and then Romine.
Romine, Austin Romine was the last
I
one.
know Chad Green came in.
That was one. Yep. You got.
Lance Lynn.
Yep. All you need is two more.
Lance
I'll
Lynn.
give you the name. The first, you want the first names?
Well, I know one was a lefty. I don't know who that was. That was
You are
like
going to get one of them because I don't even remember him.
it was. I hit the double off of some lefty, and I'm not going to know who he
Yeah,
was.
so the last two were Jonathan Holder,
Holder,
which I
yep,
kind of remember, and
yeah,
Stephen Tarpley, who I have no
Tarpley,
recollection.
yeah, Tarpley was the lefty,
Yeah.
yeah.
So you hit for the cycle, you hit the home run, what this should be noted, with two outs in the ninth.
Yeah, this goes back to Ian Kinsler, my bud. He it was his first at bat of the game because he didn't start. He came in later. I think Vasquez got out and someone else, I can't remember who else was it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Swihart. And Kinsler worked a walk. He walked. I mean,
Which is a game 16-1 or whatever. It was 14-1. People are like, really? Really?
yeah. He walked, and because I was fourth up in the inning, and Kinsler, all these stories go back to Ian, you know. So Kinsler worked a walk, got on base for me, and then I swung at the first pitch, and the rest is history, I guess.
Two-run homer, two outs, makes it 16-1. And then the next game. This always struck me as like what a heater Cora was on.
Oh,
He
yeah,
doesn't, he didn't, you don't start the next game. Like,
He,
forget about.
well, and the thing is I knew I wasn't
Oh,
like,
you did.
oh, like I Cora was, he probably still is, but he was the best about letting us know when, where we were playing. So if he didn't tell me before I left the stadium, like on my way home, drive home or on the bus back to the hotel, like I'd get a text message, second base tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah.
But he didn't even have to do that because, like, I knew CC was pitching game four. Ian's going to play second. And that's just how it is, you know? So, I mean, it's still a joke to this day. It's like, you know, we say first person to ever hit for the cycle in the postseason and then get benched the next day.
That record will never be broken, like, ever. Like, someone might hit for the cycle, but then they're playing the next day.
They'll be in there the next day. And another funny thing is I was – my numbers against Luis Severino were atrocious. I think I was maybe had one – I was like 1-16, 1-17. And it was like a joke with me and AC. Anytime Severino was pitching, I'm like, ah, dang it. Like, I'm not going to have a good day. So he texted me the night before, and I'm sure you've probably heard this story before because I've told it a lot, but he texted me the night before, and he said, second base tomorrow. And I responded, are you sure? Because Severino was on the mound and he, you know, ha ha, yes, you're playing second. I was like, all right, cool. So anyway, that we win 16-1. I hit for the cycle. I tell Kinsler, they're like, hey, I didn't know if I was going to play or not because my numbers are so bad. And I told him, like, when AC texted me, I said, are you sure? So that night after the game, he texts Ian, second base tomorrow. And Ian, are you sure? Because, you know, Brock just hit the cycle, you know.
Awesome.
Yep. And he was sure. And I watched the game and rooted for my teammates. And we won game four and then went on to the championship series. And then.
Okay. We were just in Yankee Stadium. And I say this, you know, like I always love rating the postseason environments. Like I think Philly is really on top of you. Like really on top of you. Like they're trying to enact their will on you. Fenway kind of can be that same way. The Yankee Stadium, in the last three innings, it can be that way. Like I don't get the sense like the rest of the time isn't that way.
So I do remember distinctly that game three, they were loud. They were loud to start things out. They like that first inning or two. I think we scored one or two in the like the second or third inning of that game three, but they were in it. And then once we, you know, I think in the fourth or so we put up like eight runs and then it was silent from there.
You remember the Nunez to Steve Pierce play that inning. I mean, I still remember Kimbrel's arm was like a hose was came off of it and it was like 20 degrees, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and I think other players admitted to me, like, you don't typically get nervous, but that was like, oh, man, this is.
Well, yeah, and me and JD Martinez, like, we were nervous because, like, he was DHing, so he's not in the field, and I'm not playing game four, and we're, like, we're in the batting cage watching if, like, something happens, we're moving to the dugout. We're watching there, then somehow like we're back and forth and we don't know where to sit, what to do. And because it's more nerve wracking when you're actually not on the field because you can't do anything about it. You're just watching, you know? So once that final out was made, and even more nerve wracking is like Nunez, surprise, surprise, like almost got hurt on that play. So like if they challenge and he's safe, guess who's going to third? I am, and I'm shaking in my boots, you know, like.
I didn't know he almost got hurt on it. Did he?
Well, yeah, because I think he kind of slipped a little bit, and I think he, like, might have rolled his ankle or done something. So that's the
There's two things I remember. Nicest guy, at least, you know.
He is great.
The nicest guy. Two things I remember was he would always, like, be crumpled to the ground somehow. Like,
well, that postseason, especially in the World Series, there was that one game. I think it was the 17 inning game.
Yeah,
where he fell into the stands. They had to come out and check on him.
Yeah,
and there was a pop fly. He tripped over the mound. They had to come out and check on him. And then there was a play where he laid down a bunt. Or he pulled back, dirt ball. I went to second. Catcher tried to pick it up and flipped him over. Yeah. They had to come out and check on him. Like four, they came out and checked on him for like four times in two innings.
I don't mean to laugh.
We were all like, Nooney, what's going on, dude? Like, stay on your feet, man.
Is that Moreland telling me that his I think it was Moreland that told me that the name that he put for his Starbucks order was always sexy.
But yeah, sexy. Well, I called him Latin guy. I called him Latin guy because he called me white guy, little white guy. Yeah. He goes, what's up, white guy? I said, what's up, Latin guy? But Nooney, great teammate, good guy to have around. And I just saw him not too long ago.
Oh, did you? Yeah. He always finished his sentences with 100%. 100%.
100%. He's awesome.
So the other thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, you were part of the last team to beat the Dodgers in a World Series, which is kind of nutty, right? Like, as much success as they had. The Diamondbacks beat them a couple years ago in the postseason. That was the last team to beat them in a postseason series. But you were the last team to actually celebrate a last out against the Dodgers. And to go back to that, and I do want to ask you what that feeling is like. In all sincerity, like what that feeling is like for that last out. But if you go back to that, in that World Series, you talk about Cora being on a heater. You didn't play until game three. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't play until game three. Now, which offers the opportunity for me to once again build you up. You played in 12 postseason games in your career. You know this, okay? You have a .297 batting average and a .976 OPS.
Yeah, decent numbers.
Decent.
I wish I could have done that more consistently in like the regular season. You know,
doesn't matter.
I might still be going.
Listen, images and a lot of times financial sustainability is always defined by October. So congratulations, 976 OPS. But you don't start until game three, and of course, game three was the 18 inning game where. It says on your line, you were up at that time. I think you had 7 plate appearances. Second base, left field, right field, left field. Right? Okay. So I remember what Cora was doing when JD was in that game, that game, which was cute because he was playing the outfield, right? And so every time Machado got up, he would switch, which I thought was like, this was going to be something everybody did forever and nobody did it again. You remember this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that why you were left field, right field, left field?
I don't remember. Probably. Yeah, okay. Probably. I don't remember. And honestly, I don't remember playing right field. So okay. I clearly did, but I only remember playing left field because I remember Muncy hitting the home run over my head. But I think that is true. I think we would switch whenever.
What was that moment like when the Muncy hit it over your head?
Well, in all honesty, thank you.
I'm really hungry.
Because it's 2 a.m. and I'm tired. Like, we've been out here for 8 hours, you know, like it did get to the point, and I never thought that I would play in a World Series game and almost root for the other team at one point, because it got to the point where we were 13th inning, 14th inning, 15th inning. Like, when we didn't score, it was kind of like, well, I mean,
and you guys knew, and you guys were confident, like, and you say that, I get that, right? Like, because I think that part of that is like, oh, we'll figure it out. We're just get us to the next game. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. And I think I say that now because I know the outcome. Like, I don't think in the moment I was like rooting for them to hit a home run. Right. But, I was kind of mad because earlier in the game, I think it was the 13th inning, we scored and I was the one that scored. I think I hit a double or something. I did something, maybe walked. I don't know what I did. But David Price had told us prior to the inning, he's like, I'm ready for this game to be over. He's like, whoever scores the winning run, 10 grand. And I let off the inning and I scored. And I'm like, David, I'm going to get 10 grand. He's going to pay me, you know? And then we go out and we're up by one. I'm like, we're going to win this thing. I'm going to get 10 grand. We're going to be up 3-0. And then they scored and tied it. I'm like, damn it. You know?
That might, by the way, that might be the best story I've heard about that. I get about the applause for Eovaldi after the game and everything. I've heard like all of it, you know, like all of it. That to me jumps to the top of the
list. I got 10 grand. Whoever scores the winning, go ahead, run, winning run. You got, I got 10 grand for you. And he would have paid me. And I mean, 10 grand for me is that's a lot, you know, especially just for running around the bases, you know? So, and then they ended up tying it and then we lost and then, you know, I didn't get the money, you know? So, but yeah, I played them all. I started at second and then ended in the outfield. Yeah.
And then you go on to play games 4, games 5. So, I mean, it's like, but I think,
why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I think that's Cora was really good at, like, he's very good at, like, the, you know, the analytical side. And granted, like, it was a thing then, but not as big of a thing as it is now. But he also watched the game and had a little bit of feel as far as, like, game management and, like, hey, this guy's I can tell he's feeling good. He's giving me good at bats because I didn't play the first two games because it was Kershaw and Ryu, lefty-lefty. And then game 3 was Bueller, so I played. And then game 4 was Rich Hill, and I played. And then game 5 was Kershaw again, and I played. So he let me play against the lefties. And I think that's just because I was given good at bats and giving us a chance, you know.
So obviously the Dodgers, that's not the same Dodgers team. It's, you know, we're 7 years apart, but. You know, the Dodgers.
That team was good too. That team was really good. Yeah.
I mean, they're all good.
They've been good for years.
I think one of the lessons, and I think Dave Roberts has evolved too. I mean, he doesn't have to hear that from me, but I do, about, you know, whether it's leaving guys in or whatever it is. But really, like, in that Dodgers team, it was, well, you have this lineup against this side, this pitcher, and less lineup against this pitcher. And it was so obvious that one lineup was better than the other. So, and then we've seen that a lot now. Okay, well, don't sacrifice everything if you actually have the better play.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
Players, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, and that's that. Like, we felt good about it because anytime Sale or Price pitched, like, Bellinger wasn't in the lineup. Like, all their big lefties, Peterson wasn't in the lineup. Yeah. It's like even with, you know, left on left, like, those guys just the upside, you know, is greater than, you know, some of the right-handed batters that they had that they played, you know. And I think that when you get to October, you play your best
yeah,
players.
I think so.
And I think in season, I think you can be strategic and play things like that. And I think once we get to October, I think you see it, like, it kind of goes back to old school baseball. It's like two strike hitting, like, moving guys, getting two out hits, starters staying in the game. Like, you know, I mean, the Dodgers, Snell should have thrown a complete game one, you know, he pitched eight, then Yamamoto went complete game shutout. Like, I think it gets back to baseball, you know, like, you got to have starters. You got to have a few bullpen arms, you know, that's what we did too. Like, we, you know, our lineup played in October, and our starters took the ball and they pitched until, you know. Yeah.
And, you know, conversely, I think what Brock, not to like be like, get on the soapbox here about the current state, because I try not to be old man yelling at clouds, but I do think that one of the things that we probably have learned or able to take away from this current Dodgers run is that, yeah, that's fine. Like, you need good starters. But you can't – it's not sustainable to bob and weave your way through seven-game series, playoff runs with bullpens. As even if you have – if you say, oh, we're going to build up our bullpen, the bullpen guys wear out. They wear out. I mean, that's what happens.
Yeah.
No.
Well, and the more times you face them – I mean, obviously, like, they have tremendous stuff, right? The more times you face them, the more comfortable you get. But like you said, like, if they're pitching every day – you know, and then it instead of, you know, you've got somebody locked in, a pitcher throwing, you know, six, seven innings, like, when you're bringing someone else in after inning after inning after inning, like, you're banking on everyone being perfect, when instead of one guy being really good, you're
right,
expecting four or five guys to be perfect when, you know, they may not be, you know, it might not be their day. Mm. I love playoff baseball. And I root for, you know, whenever I was playing, I rooted for sweeps from my team just so I didn't have to get in the winner take all games. But as a fan watching the game, I want to see all the game sevens I can, you know? Yeah. So let me
ask you, whatever team is going to play the Dodgers, give me something as someone who's played, won a World Series against the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. Give me something that you can pass on. Maybe it's like, hey, this is what the tunnel is like going from the dugout. This is the batter's eye. This is what the Dodgers typically do. This is their signs. I don't know. You've lived that life.
Yeah, I lived that life. It was a long time ago. And like you said, it's a different team. I think playing in LA is, I think it's awesome. Like, I think the Dodger Stadium is great. Like, obviously they it's one of the bigger stadiums as far as, like, attendance, I think, in the big leagues. So, like, it's loud. The speakers are loud. You're in LA, like, in the World Series, you look in the first row and you've got.
Yeah. Did you see anyone? Did you, like, look for anyone?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We had some of the Boston boys behind us in, Ben Affleck and some of those guys. Yeah. Was his Jason Bateman? Is that his name?
Oh yeah, Jason Bateman. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was right behind our dugout. But then Kobe Bryant was there.
Yeah.
Remember? Yeah. I mean, they're like in front, like, you're on deck and there's, you know, A-list celebrities sitting right there in the front row. But I mean, this Dodgers team is I mean, it's it. And the thing about them is, like, they, yeah, I think going into the season, everyone expected them to win 140 games, right, based off the roster.
Yeah, their over-under was 104.
Everyone got hurt. You know, they had so many injuries throughout the year, and now all of those guys are back and healthy. So now they're basically full, you know, full roster at the right time, and everyone's playing well. And, I mean, to have to face Snell, Yamamoto, Glasnow, and then Shohei in game four for the Brewers, it's like that's not fair, you know? And then Snell went 8, Yamamoto went 9. Glasnow is disgusting. And then Shohei, like, and then, yeah, I mean, just the roster that they've built.
Yeah. It is a cool setting and a cool scene. And really, I think that when you juxtapose it against, like in that case, it was the Boston to Fenway crowd and, you know, this East Coast. And it's just a cool place to be. But, you know, like I just look at, I was, for you guys, that was sort of the beginning of the Dodgers way, like the Andrew Friedman way, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if like you've talked to Mookie or other guys about anything that they do different, you know? They do a lot of things well, and maybe it's nothing they do different. And I know they spend a lot of money. I get that.
I think the thing that the Dodgers do well, I think like player personnel wise, they all kind of do their own thing. I think the players all have their own like little routines, and they, you know, but I think they take care of the players. Like if the players want something or need something, or the players' families want something or need something, they make it happen. You know, I think they did a whole renovation or something because granted it's Shohei Ohtani, but they Shohei needed to take a nap or something, and they built up something, or like, yeah. I think they're really good. I think they're really good with the families. I think they take care of their families. So like, I think that takes some pressure off of players knowing that their families are well taken care of, because all that stuff behind the scenes is real, you know. It's like, to go out and play a baseball game every single day, there's a lot of stuff that leads up to that, but then your lives off the field, whatever's happening, like it can affect someone's performance. And I think from what I've heard from different people, like the Dodgers do a really good job of making sure like all the off the field stuff is taken care of, so they don't have to worry about it.
That's good.
Which I think is very important.
Listen, the Red Sox, you know,
for a long season.
The Red Sox did put in a bidet when they signed Daisuke Matsuzaka. So
yeah, it's still there. Back stall. People would just wait until it was done.
Such an underrated thing on its own.
It's one of those
underrated part of the Daisuke Matsuzaka story.
Yeah, that was probably in fine print there at the bottom. But it's one of those things. It's like heated seats in your car. It's like you've never had them. You're like, I don't really need that, you know. And then once you have them, you're like, can't ever have a car without heated seats, you know. It's like a bidet, like heated toilet seat. Like we bought our house here in Brentwood, and all the toilets they had heated seats. And I'm like, this is dumb. Like I've never had a heated toilet seat before. And now if I go to someone else's house and sit on the toilet and it's not heated, I'm like, what is this? Like this is brutal.
Do you have the combo of the heated seats and the bidet or no?
Yes. Yeah. Ooh. So the people we bought our house off of, he's like head of Ferguson Home down here, and they do appliances and all everything. So he had all the gadgets on the toilet, and they just left it, you know. So we have the button you push, and you know, you can bidet, you can heat the seat, all the stuff. So,
I tell Mr. Ferguson I'd be happy to have a collab, the baseballs and boring bidets.
Yes.
If I can get a free one.
Yeah. Yeah.
The last thing before I ask you about your venomous spiders is, what is it like to get a final out in the world? You were playing second base, right? Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yes.
What is it like for that moment, to have that moment? Like, because they obviously, one of the great things that TV does is it shows a lot of positions, throws a lot of reactions. For you, did it hit like you thought it would hit?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So that's the one, like I said earlier in this talk, that like you know, I don't really remember the hits or the plays that I made or didn't make or whatever, but like, that's the one moment that I will always be able to like look back on and like know exactly how I felt, because it's something that I had wanted and had like played out in my mind my entire life. You know, I wanted to be a professional baseball player from the time I could tell somebody what I wanted to be. So in that moment, you know, we're up 5-1, you know, we go out, Sale comes in. It's like, oh, we're winning this game, you know, and he strikes out, I guess it was Kike first. It was Kike maybe, and then Turner.
Mm-hmm.
And then Machado comes up, and we get to two strikes, and that's one of those things where it kind of time slowed down a little bit, and I was able to just kind of like, I remember just looking like around the stadium, and just like thinking like, this is what I always wanted to be, right here in this moment. And then he throws the slider, swing and a miss. And then it was, you know, I went down to a knee and I prayed, and I thanked the Lord for letting me be able to be in that situation. It's something that I dreamed of as being a kid, and like to be able to actually live out your childhood dreams and get to do the one thing that, other than becoming a husband and a father, like the one thing that I've always wanted to do. I just had to say thank you in that moment, you know, and because I wouldn't have been there without him. And, you know, I went down to a knee, said thank you, and went and hugged Bogey.
Did you?
Threw my glove in the air, hugged Bogey, and then me and Bogey went to the pitcher's mound, started jumping around with everybody.
Did you get your glove back?
Yeah. So Tommy, you know, he's out there picking up everybody's hats and gloves, you know, and yeah, getting them. Yeah, I have my glove. Yeah, it's here.
Because I asked E-Rod when I saw him in Arizona if he had that glove that he threw to the mound.
That he slammed.
He slammed.
Yeah.
He said either he got it signed. You might have got it signed by Puig, who hit the home run.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's good.
But you know, I asked that, and thank you for that. I mean, because honestly, it was, people don't understand this. Like, I don't think people can feel that feeling. The moment that I always remember of like, this must be different. That's something that we can't understand, which is that NFL films of Steve Young holding up the Lombardi trophy. And it's like, he's coming out of his skin. Like, it's like, he can't imagine these emotions that are running through him. That's the thing that made me always remember. And stories like that, I'm sorry, only read.
Well, it's like it's like the one thing, you know, like as a baseball player, you work your whole life. Hold on. I'm going to Tank's barking at me. Come on, Tank. Come on. I got to put him outside.
All right.
I think he's got to go to the restroom. This is real life. This is real life.
No, it's good. It's good.
This is real life.
It's like when Mookie's on the podcast eating a bowl of something.
Yeah. You, your dog barks at you. Y'all go outside. Leave me alone. There you go. Tank's going to probably take a dump out there, and Moose is going to eat it. So, but no, what I was saying is like, it's the one, you know, as a baseball player, you know, from the time I was a kid, right? I wanted to be a professional baseball player. And like, what does that entail? Like, I want to be a professional baseball player. I want to win the World Series. So it's like that one thing that you've worked your entire life to do, and you did it, you know? And I think that's how everyone feels in that moment. So for me, obviously, like, I got a ring for the 13 team. Cause I was up and down that year. But I didn't make the roster. I didn't travel with the team. So I was on the couch watching the World Series like everybody else. But like, to actually be in that moment and get to be on the field, that's the, you know, and I'm so thankful that I got to, like, I was on the field and at second base. Like, I would have been thankful to be in the dugout and run out, but like, to be able to be there and to be in that position and get to look around and just kind of soak it in that moment, because that's the ultimate goal from the time you decide you want to play baseball. Like, you want to win the whole thing. And just to get to do it with that group of guys, made it that much more special. Like, that 18 team was, they were great. it was a fun team to be on.
I don't know if we can revisit this because I didn't ask this question in 2018 because it wasn't a thing. But last year, when Joe was on the Dodgers, I asked him, I said, would you get a baseballs and boring tattoo if you win the World Series? And they won the World Series. And yeah. I don't know if I've seen you.
I got a picture. Yeah, you and Joe.
Yeah. So I'm awkwardly trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it in a tough
right
spot
here. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So if I had asked you that in 2018, would you have done it? You have tattoos.
Yeah, I think so. I know I had a couple, but yeah, I think I would have done it. I would definitely do it now because I'm looking for reasons to get tattoos. Just because I like them.
Can I tell you that? And I may have told you this before, but so I was very fortunate to be at Yankee Stadium when they won the World Series, and Joe's on his knees in the outfield wearing his baseballs and boring shirt, and Ashley comes over, and it's like the whole scene, right? Like very fortunate. But I will say this. The reaction he had getting out of that tattoo chair for Mr. Cartoon after getting that tattoo was right there in terms of excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. I only have one. I don't know what it's like.
There's something about getting a new tattoo, man. Obviously, like, I would like them more if they didn't take so dang long to get. Like, it's hard for me to sit in a chair for 8 hours and, like, just have someone just scraping my skin with needles.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
yeah, man, it
hurts. They're not. People who say they don't hurt they're lying because they do. They hurt. They hurt worse in certain spots. But yeah, I love tattoos. Anybody that I pass on the street or that's you know in a coffee shop or whatever in the store and they have tattoos, like I'm the guy staring at them.
Oh.
Probably like they probably think like, look at this guy thinks I'm a freak because I got all these. I was like, no, I just want to look at your tattoos.
Oh, dude, like well, now that I have one part of the club, and we all already have a couple commitments from the Dodgers guys, Kopech, Banda, they're all getting baseballs and boring tattoos. Yeah. And I asked David Popkin, the hitting coach of Toronto. I didn't know him at all, but I was interviewing him, so I was asking him. But he has such a next level Bruce Lee tattoo. I mean, really? Whenever I see him again, I'm like, this is going to be an entire podcast about this Bruce Lee tattoo. So here's the opportunity.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're coaching your son's team. What's the name of the team?
Team War Stick.
Team War Stick.
Team War Stick.
Are they playing in a tournament, or are they playing in a league?
We have our first tournament. Yeah, we have our first tournament. It's just a fall tournament, little Halloween bash tournament. Okay. My expectations aren't high, right? This is the first year of Kid Pitch, and we haven't played any games yet. We've got a scrimmage tonight, but we've only scrimmaged a couple times, so expectations aren't high. But I would get a War Stick tattoo, and I actually. Back to Kinsler. He's a big investor. Ben Jenkins is actually the founder CEO. But Kinsler and Jack White, the musician.
Yeah.
They are majority owners. And I recently just invested in War Stick not too long ago. So I've got some skin in the game. Ben calls me a particle owner because I'm not quite, I don't have quite enough to be part owner. So I'm particle. But I would get a War Stick tattoo. Yeah. Support the brand, you know?
All right. Well, I'm not going to say don't do that, but if you also want to win another championship, baseball is a boring tattoo is there to be had as well.
Yeah.
So, you've been very generous with your time, and I want to ask you about your venomous spiders, but in synopsis, you're moving in a new house, or you're having your house renovated. You had a rental house, and you had to move out of that rental house because you had venomous spiders in your house. The only question I have is, how did you find out they were venomous spiders?
Well, so here's the deal, Rob. I'll give you a little short story here. Big renovation at the house. What started as I want a golf simulator turned into completely gutting the entire house. Addition, new kitchen, living room, like we did it all. The only thing we didn't touch is the upstairs. So it's going to be great when it's done, but it's taken a little while. So we moved into this rental house, and the boys yelled upstairs one night, "Spider!" So I go up there. They were like, "Kill it." We think it's just, you know, like a daddy long leg or something. Just kill it. Get rid of it. So they did. The next night, "Spider again." So I ran up there and I killed it. And I looked at it. And growing up in Texas, like we had tarantulas. We had big black widows. We had brown recluse spiders. And I remember learning, like, obviously the black widow, black with the red underbelly, brown recluse looks like it has a fiddle on its back, like a violin. And I look at this tissue paper and I'm like, so then I get my phone and I Google brown recluse. And I'm like, that's a brown recluse. That's probably not good. Lakin was in the shower. So I go and I say, "Hey, that spider," that was a brown recluse. She goes, "No, it wasn't." I go, "Yeah." And turns out brown recluse are very common in Tennessee, but they shouldn't be as common as they were in that house. So we call a exterminating pest company, and they come out and they're like, "Oh, it's bad." They went up into the attic. They're like, "It's bad." So they give us a quote, like, "This is what it's going to take to get rid of them." We're like, "Okay." We tell the landlord, he's like, "I'm not spending that much money." So he like hires another company to come in and do like a cheaper Band-Aid over a bullet hole type treatment. And it didn't work at all. They put out these sticky traps, these little square sticky traps, like around the baseboards upstairs in the attic. We were catching on these little things, and they weren't baited traps. They were just pads with, if the spider walked across it, boom, they would get stuck.
Yeah.
And brown recluses, they eat each other. So like when one would get stuck, then they'd come and then the other ones would get stuck. We caught, I think the first month we caught like 80 something in these traps. The company came out, took all the traps, set new traps. The next month we caught 140 something. Then and at this point we're still communicating with the landlord, like, "Hey,
why are you not moved out? Why are you?"
Well, because I don't know. Lakin wouldn't sleep upstairs in our bed. Me and Ripken slept upstairs with me in our bed. We risked it. because that's where the majority of them were, because they were coming from the attic, so they were coming down. Lakin and Griff slept on the couch in the living room for like 5 months. And then the third month, when we finally decided, like, hey, we're out of here, we caught, we got 240 something of these things in these traps. And so we hired an attorney, and we sent the guy a letter and said, hey, we're leaving. Like, you're not taking care of this issue, you know?
Yeah.
So we got out, we moved. So now we're in another rental. And now that guy's trying to get us to pay him. Like, he's trying to get us to pay. Well, he wants to keep our security deposit because we left early. And then he wants us to pay him $18,000 for leaving early. So now we're in a battle with this guy, you know? And we're like, we're not doing that. Like, yeah. Like, hey. these spiders, if they bite you, if you're allergic there, it's really bad. Like, they like it like eats your skin, like eats your skin.
You're going to win. You have nothing.
We'll win. Like, and the thing is like, we don't want anything. Like, if we wanted to like take you to court,
yeah,
like we could probably get money from you, but like, we just want you to let us leave and leave us alone. And he's like, this is actually his attorney is like, this is, he doesn't have to do this, but he only wants $18,000 instead of $25,000.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, yeah, well, he's not getting it. So, keep trying, you know?
Here, but listen, if you need me as a witness or anybody, I will, all these facts and figures that I rattled off to build up how important you are.
Yeah.
You don't want to mess with this guy.
You don't want to mess with this. No. Yeah. And I don't care. Like, I'll get bit by all the brown recluses, but if you don't let us leave that house and they bite my kids,
yeah,
we're going to have issues. Yeah. So needless to say, we're out of there. We haven't heard from their side in a couple weeks. So maybe they're backing off, but we're in this rental now and it's been fine. But we're ready to be back in our, ready to be back in our house.
Between Joe getting punched in a youth baseball game and you almost getting bit by spiders, there's a lot of legal documentation in this podcast.
A lot of litigation going on around right, here. Yeah. Right.
But you know what's not litigated? The great game of baseball. Yay.
Exactly.
Hey, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Rob, great talking to you, man.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Arc Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.